I'm Dee Dee.
And I'm Jen, and this is
Murder on My Street. Before we get started, though, before we get into the case, I had to tell you why we didn't record last week. So I was doing somebody a favor, and I was trying to get upstairs, and I had my slippers on that my mom gave me for Christmas. And I've got because I've got to print something. So I had my laptop in my hand and like a piece of paper in my left hand, my PC in my right hand. So, you know, I'm just, you know, bebopping up the stairs, get to about the fourth one, and my slipper clips the lip of the stairs, and I go down.
Oh, God.
But I'm like, I can't drop the computer. So I kind of, instead of trying to, like, drop it and, like, brace myself, I, like, almost gently put the computer down on the landing, but I'm still sliding down the stairs on my right side. I'm trying to grab with my left the banister. It's not going well because I can't grab anything. So I slide down the stairs all on my right side. And then at the bottom of the stairs, I'm just kind of sitting there in this heap. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to sit here and reflect. Just how did this happen? How am I on the floor? My computer's up there, a half torn piece of paper in my hand. I'm down on
the paper tear.
I don't even know. I don't know. But it was all in slow motion. When you fall, it always seems to be in slow motion. Like the ground is rushing up to you. You're like, oh no, this is going badly. I'm going down. I'm down. I'm sliding. I'm
picturing as you wish.
No. No, it was more Eddie Murphy. When Bunny fell down the stairs, my shoe. It was more of that.
I think I lost it. You sit there and reflect on it like you did something wrong and you need to learn a lesson from this. Whereas I'd be like, I need to sit here and just sit here for a minute and just check in with my body and see broken.
I was doing like an assessment, like, okay, you can wiggle your toes, nothing's broken, but what, like, come on, Dee Dee, what just happened? Was it the shoes? Were you moving too fast? What got in the way? Did the cat trip you up? Maybe you didn't see the cat. What happened?
It was a combination of things, but I love too how our priorities are not our bodies. They're like, oh, it's the computer.
Exactly. Well, it was my brand new work computer. I've only been there a freaking month. And so,
oh crap.
No, I can't go back on, this was like a Thursday. I can't go on Friday and say, oh, by the way, I fell down the stairs and here's your computer in two pieces.
Give me a new one.
Exactly. So I don't bruise easily. I don't think I've ever had a bruise in my whole entire life. And I was bruised from like my ribs down to like my knee, the side of my thigh.
Oh my God.
I mean, I hit, cause we have hardwood floors, so there's no carpet on the stairs.
Yikes.
So yeah.
Ow.
And then the dog was in the chair in the living room. He barely even looked up. You would think the dog would be like, what was that commotion? Let me go see what's going on. Didn't even register. Didn't care.
If you've been like letting off a firecracker on the way down, though.
Oh, of course. If I had some dog treats. If a cookie flew out of my hand as I'm flying down the stairs, that would have got his attention. So that was my adventure. And now these other two people that I live with say, hey, mom, let's go roller skating. I almost died 2 weeks ago. Now you want me to do it in front of everybody? I can't.
They're trying to kill you.
I think they are.
You better change that life insurance policy. Shoot. Or lie to them and tell them that it doesn't go to them.
Exactly. Oh, my gosh. You're no longer my beneficiaries.
See what okay, well, I them. Have a story for
okay.
you.
Okay. Okay.
That I was dying to tell you. So I had a friend send me a text message from LA. Mm-hmm. Her husband and her son are like in quarantine because they both had COVID, and mm-hmm. she was COVID free and she was finally out of her quarantine period. So she was running to the grocery store to get them stuff. And she sends me this message. She's like, I just had the most unsettling experience in the grocery store. This guy followed me for 4 aisles and I was so unsettled.
Oh my God.
By his presence, by the looks that he gave me, just got a really, really bad vibe from him. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm pretty sure that he was shoplifting.
Oh.
So I was having that ethical argument that you have with yourself because it was food that he was stealing and he was putting mm-hmm. it in a diaper bag.
Okay.
So am I turning this man in and his children are not going to get their yeah. only meal for the week, sort of a thing. So she didn't end up turning him in, just was unsettled by the whole experience. So she gets home, she makes dinner for everybody. She takes dinner to her son, takes dinner into her husband. And as she turns to leave the bedroom, he's got the news on.
Uh-huh.
And this man's face is up on their big screen TV. Right before he came into that grocery store, he had stabbed a young woman to death in a furniture store right next door.
Oh my God.
Yes. So if she'd paid more attention to the trail of blood he was leaving than focusing on the diaper bag.
Oh my God.
Maybe she could have turned him in sooner. But really, like, it just highlights, trust your gut.
Exactly. Like, if you don't feel right, because I've been watching videos of just women kind of walking in the street and just the amount of harassment and that you just get just walking. Mm-hmm. And so if you don't feel safe,
And you just have to learn to trust your gut. Yeah. Like I took my nephew today down to walk this trail that it's fairly populated, but you know, we also have a big homeless meth mm-hmm. problem in this area. And occasionally you run into them and some of them are very nice and you know, it's bad. They're in the middle of their addiction. Sometimes you do get bad vibes from people. But today when we were down there, as we started out our walk, we had a guy go, hey, you want to box me? I was like, no, thanks. He just kept walking. And as we're walking away, he's shouting, pussies, come back and fight me, pussies. Yeah,
because pussies are so, so weak.
Right. They don't push out entire
humans. A whole full-formed people with a brain. A whole person.
Right.
Pussies with arms and legs and my kid. That's a story. You know what? That's a story for another day. Her birth. The story of her birth is a mess.
But I was not nervous.
Like, yeah.
I've run into this guy. I go to this trail quite often and see him a lot. And 9 times out of 10, he's in a very good mood and he wants to talk about fun things with you. But occasionally
he wants to box you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you just keep walking. Like, you yeah. know if you have a bad feeling about someone or not.
Yeah.
I did not have a bad feeling about him. Exactly. I knew he didn't just stab someone in a furniture store.
Right. He just wanted a little, you know, a couple, three rounds.
He wanted to get some exercise.
Exactly. Exactly.
Don't we all?
Not all of us. I need to, but I don't.
But I think as women, we're, you know, we're always taught to be polite, and we've kind of dismissed our gut since we were small, especially at our age. Smile, say hi, acknowledge everyone. And you don't have to do that. If it feels bad, it is bad.
You don't have to smile at anybody. You don't have to speak. Oh, you can't speak? Mm-mm-mm.
We don't owe anybody anything.
I don't have to. I mean, what do you want to know? That I'm on my period and I'm bleeding like a stuck pig? What would you like to know? What would you like to talk about on this day? You want to talk so bad? Ugh. Okay, here we go.
Stranger danger.
Exactly. I need an adult.
An adultier adult.
Exactly.
Someone who is successfully adulting.
Exactly. Like, who would that be?
It'd be me.
Like Keanu Reeves. He seems to be pretty good at it.
A mess. No.
He is?
That man.
He's motorcycles. And he has an age-appropriate girlfriend. And I'm just saying.
That's awesome.
Okay. What do I care if they date 22-year-olds? I don't. It's got nothing to do with me. All right. Okay, Jen. What street are we on tonight?
Tonight, we are on the 13200 block of Red Star Drive in Plainfield, Illinois, on April 30th, 2007. And we will be talking about the disappearance of Lisa Stebbick.
Okay.
This one was much requested.
Oh, okay.
Last season.
All right.
So we're going to cover it this season.
All righty.
Lisa was born on May 19th, 1969.
Okay.
She had a love of nature that came early in life. She loved all kinds of critters, from puppies to frogs to chameleons.
Oh, I lost me with frogs and chameleons, but good on you.
You'll stick with the puppies.
Yeah.
Her family delighted in how she got excited over little things. Mm-hmm. Lisa's mom said she was the kind of child who stood up at preschool and handed her crayon to the child who didn't have one.
Oh.
She had a heart of gold, and that extended to all beings. In high school, she competed on the swim team and she danced jazz before graduating in 1987. Mm. And from there, she went on to Southern Illinois University before transferring to Kendall College, where she graduated with a degree in hotel and restaurant management.
Come on.
She was currently employed as a food assistant, which I think is just a fancy way of saying badass lunch lady.
Well, if she was...
Because what lunch ladies aren't badasses?
Yeah, I don't know what a food assistant is.
She served food at Lincoln Elementary School. Oh, she was part of the kitchen staff.
Oh, okay. So that's the official title.
Working as a food assistant was no surprise to her family because she loved to cook for them. And she started doing that when she was just a teenager.
Mm.
That was not me. I have a bestie whose daughter has loved to bake since she was little, she was in elementary school. So it's always fun when she's posting all of the things, mm-hmm. but it's baking.
Aww.
And that would be the thing that my child would do to get me fat.
Exactly. I mean, I'm glad none of us like to cook in this house. It's bad enough as it is.
listening to her friends, Lisa sounded like someone that you wanted in your circle.
Mm-hmm.
She listened to you, like really listened to you when she asked you questions. And she retained that knowledge because she liked to make those connections with
people. Yeah, that's good.
She was the kind of person who remembered that you had a great aunt who went in for surgery and asked after her, like the next time that you were together.
Oh, very thoughtful. Okay.
So Lisa and her husband, Craig Stebbick, met at a party. They didn't know each other in high school. The couple eloped on April 6, 1993.
Ooh.
According to her cousin's wife, it was just easier for them to elope than to try to do a blended ceremony since Lisa was Jewish and Craig was not.
Okay.
But it didn't sound like the family was against this union because her aunt hosted a reception at her house.
Okay.
After the elopement.
Yeah. I mean, it's your wedding. Do it however you want.
Yes. Because we did it how we wanted and things went awry. And then there were repercussions on my husband's side of the family because nobody seemed to recognize that it was our day.
Right.
And it wasn't about anybody else but us.
Yes.
Whatever.
Weddings and funerals just bring out the worst in people.
In people. It's crazy. 2 years after their first child was born, Alexis, and Zachary would follow about a year later.
Okay.
And to Lisa, her kids were her life.
Mm-hmm.
She gave up her career so she could stay home and raise her young children. And it was when they started school that Lisa started working as a food service worker because the hours just meshed well with her kids' right. schedule.
Right. Makes sense.
It gives you like the same school holidays and your right. hours are the same. You're not having to be gone. You're not working a desk job where you're there until 5 o'clock and your kids are out of school at 3:30.
Exactly.
She could be home to take them to after school activities and be there to help with their homework.
Yeah.
They ended up moving to Plainfield because Craig was commuting there a lot for work. So it was just easier. They were going to get a lot more family time if they moved closer to that.
Sure.
So let's get a little bit of background on Plainfield, Illinois, because we have a former high school friend. She's not a former friend. That sounds weird. She's still a friend. She's a very delightful friend, and we love her very much. And she was living in Plainfield, Illinois.
Hmm.
So Plainfield is a southwestern suburb of Chicago. It's just south of Naperville, which is a very wealthy and desirable community.
Mm.
She described Plainfield as a middle-class town. It was very small when she and her family moved there in 2000. There wasn't even a grocery store within 5 miles.
Wow.
Yeah. It's grown from less than 10,000 people to 44,000 people in the last 20 years.
My goodness.
And now they have the fourth largest school district in the state with 4 high schools.
My gosh.
She says it used to be all farms and that the townies will tell you that it used to be full of the Klan back in the day.
Well, yeah.
Probably. Still full of the Klan.
It's fucking America. Yeah. What? Right. Yeah. When has
They're
it not?
Still everywhere.
When? I mean, you have to go back, I don't know, hundreds and hundreds of years. Yeah, it's been. Okay. It's like seeing their stars on the flag. Yeah. 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 Been that way. Been that way.
Yes, there are stars. Yep, there were stars on the flag. There are still stars on the flag.
Yeah, since the beginning. Let's go.
She describes it as an idyllic suburban town. So you can imagine how much the disappearance of Lisa Stebbick rocked this community.
I can't even imagine.
In January of 2007, Lisa's husband, Craig, filed for divorce after 14 years of marriage.
Oh, no.
It sounded mutual.
Yeah.
So Craig says he filed because Lisa told him she didn't want to be with him anymore.
Okay.
So Lisa had begun working out. She'd lost 40 pounds.
Ooh.
She was starting to, sort of the thing that I went into when I moved, mm-hmm. when I made the move from California up here. You start to feel good in your own skin. You get into a new routine and you're like, okay, this is the direction life's going in now.
Right.
That's where it sounds like Lisa was at.
Okay.
She was happy with the direction that she was heading in most ways. We'll talk about the one thing that she didn't like in a minute.
Okay.
But in April, Lisa posted a profile on two separate exercise sites. Mm-hmm. Looking for females to exercise with, specifically females. She said no males at all.
Right.
You know, you get fucking creepers.
Yeah. I mean, you want somebody who can help keep you accountable. Right.
Yes.
And, you know, you want to feel comfortable around them.
And girl gab.
Exactly. And if you're coming out of a relationship and I just want to exercise and I just want to, you know, decompress or, I don't know, chit chat, whatever.
Right. You're more motivated, I feel like, in most cases, if you have a partner, someone that you are meeting up with to work out with.
Exactly.
And I think that's what she was looking for. You know, you mm-hmm. want to expand your horizons, make new friends. She's working out. She's working on herself. She's feeling really good about herself. She's gaining mm-hmm. some confidence. So she would work out 3 nights a week from 6 p.m. to closing, which was about 8:30 p.m.
Oh, okay. I'm like, oh, my God, six. That sounds like she was in there 5, 6, 7, 8 hours. Like, oh, my God, what time does the place close? I was like,
it was a school, so they would close at 8:30 p.m. Sometimes afterwards, she would go back to a friend's house for wine and girl talk, too.
Sure.
So this was really filling a need for her. Mm-hmm. She wasn't letting this divorce get her down. She was reinventing mm-hmm. herself. And to celebrate her new start in life, Lisa got a butterfly tattoo on her lower back with mm-hmm. her children's names on each side.
Oh, sweet.
Lisa and Craig were seeking joint custody of their two kids, who were now 12 and 10. So mm-hmm. Lexi was 12 and Zach was now 10.
Okay.
And Lisa was also seeking alimony. But they were still living in the same house at the time. It's reported mm-hmm. that they were possibly having financial difficulties. And, you know, we've had friends who've had to do this. They separate, but they maintain the same residence.
Right.
Because have you looked at the price to maintain?
I mean, we've still got to, you know, try to survive. So
it's
you sleep
expensive.
The kids can sleep in the bedroom with me. You can sleep in their room and just don't bother me.
And they were no longer speaking. So things were kind of tense.
Yeah.
Not speaking, but living under the same roof. So how fucking uncomfortable. But I've also had friends in those situations too, right? Where it's just you can't afford for one of you to move out. Mm-hmm. So it's completely uncomfortable. Her friend said that she would find ways to leave the house whenever Craig was home.
Mm-hmm.
She also allegedly slept with her purse and her cell phone because she was afraid that Craig would take them. Lisa was sleeping on the couch.
Hmm.
Those poor kids. I mean, as someone whose parents were constantly back and forth from the time I was very little, mm-hmm. I can tell you that it creates a lot of anxiety in your child.
Yeah.
By the time I started speaking when I was 2, mom says I was complaining that my stomach hurt all the time.
Oh, your stress as a baby.
Right. The tension in the house. Like you mm-hmm. feel that tension. Like your parents try to put on a front for you, but you just sense it. And Lisa exactly. knew this, and right. she was trying to get Craig out of the house. On April 30th, the day that she went missing, Lisa had petitioned the court to have Craig removed from the house.
Okay.
She called him unnecessarily relentless, cruel, inconsiderate, domineering, and verbally abusive. and said his behavior was detrimental to their children, which is what we just talked about. And then they can sense the tension in the house.
Exactly.
So now we're on the morning of her disappearance.
All right.
Lisa went to work like she normally did.
Mm-hmm.
Then she swings by Jimmy John's for a sandwich at about 2 p.m. So she was a regular at this particular Jimmy John's that she stopped by for a sandwich. The staff knew her well. Sure. So they had a conversation, talked about her children. She told them that she was in a hurry because she had errands that she had to run before the kids got home from school that day.
Sure.
The manager says that it was normal, just like any other day. And there was no indication that anything was wrong. They mm-hmm. didn't pick up on anything being off with her. So Craig got home from work at about 5:30.
Okay.
He gave the kids some money to go get candy and they rode their bikes to the store. Now, Lisa's friends and family have trouble with this mm-hmm. because they say that she didn't allow the kids to have sweets.
Mm-hmm.
So they, for that reason, they have trouble buying this story. But
if he's vindictive and being an asshole, why wouldn't he at this point? I don't get, you know, in his mind, I don't give a shit what she wants and doesn't want.
Right. So this is, and this is not defending Craig. I'm just saying I can totally see him doing this because we would pit my parents against each other. If one parent said no, we would go to the other parent mm-hmm. to get the yes. Because you learn to do that when your parents are split up. And also, if they, it doesn't, I mean, she called him unnecessarily relentless, cruel, inconsiderate, domineering, and verbally abusive.
Right.
That is a man who doesn't give a shit that you don't want your children having sweets. He wants to be the good guy. He's going to give you guys.
Or I'm going to make sure that I'm going to make your life miserable and do the exact opposite of what you would do with these kids. So now you've got the kids in the middle and you're pitting these kids against one another. And OK, well, I'm going to tell them they can have all the candy they want.
Yes. Yes. So I can see him doing it to get them out of the house so that he can allegedly off his wife. But I'm also saying, like, to me, just because Lisa didn't let the kids have candy doesn't mean that Craig wasn't letting them to get candy at every turn, especially given the way that they're portraying him and the way mm-hmm. Lisa has portrayed him her friends. To me, this does not sound out of the ordinary at all.
It sounds like a dick move, and he sounds like a fucking dick who's pissed off that his wife doesn't want him anymore.
Yep.
Allegedly, in my opinion.
Craig says Lisa left the house around 6 p.m. while he was doing some work out in the back. So the kids are at the store getting their candy. He's mm-hmm. out back and he hears Lisa leave. She exercises every night at Plainfield North High School and he thinks someone picked her up. Mm. She left with her cell phone and her purse. And this is usually the time she heads out for exercise. So according to him, he didn't think anything of it. The kids get back with their candy. Mm-hmm. Mom's gone. She does not come home that night. And according to Craig, when the kids get home, he then puts them in the car and they run out because they have to buy a gift for a birthday party the next day.
Okay.
And then they come home, but there's no sign of Lisa. So at 8:50 a.m. on May 1st, the next day, Craig calls Lisa's work to see if she's arrived. They tell him no. He does nothing with this information. But at 10 a.m., he calls the neighbor to see if the neighbor has seen Lisa. The neighbor, of course, hasn't seen Lisa either. This is where reports get conflicting because the majority of them say, now, at that point, the neighbor called the police to report her missing, while Craig just went about his day, dropping the kids off, going to work. But I did find this in the Chicago Tribune. Plainfield Deputy Police Chief Mark Eating said Craig Stebbick reported his wife missing at 10 a.m. Tuesday. There is no evidence of foul play, he said. That's a quote from the Chicago Tribune.
Okay.
Later on, the police will change their tune on all of that. But for now, everything's cool. Craig's quote to the media and to the police was, I can't see her leaving her kids. She's a good mother. She'd do anything for her kids.
Okay.
On May 3rd, Plainfield Emergency Management searches the park across the street where Lisa reportedly walked and jogged sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Craig also voluntarily hands over the family computer.
All right.
Okay. I mean, people voluntarily do stuff when they know that there's nothing there to be found too, or they can wipe things clean. I mean, that
doesn't really mean anything.
One thing or the other.
Yeah.
Craig does an interview with CBS2 that day in which he says she left to go supposedly to work out. Somebody picked her up. I was in the backyard working in the backyard. When I came in, she'd already left. He states when the kids came home from Walgreens with their candy, he took them to get a birthday present for someone. Lisa's family sets up findlisastebbick.com
mm-hmm.
to help get tips rolling because things are not moving as quickly as they would like.
Right.
May 4th, volunteers meet at an elementary school to distribute flyers with Lisa's pictures and descriptions on them. Now, here we are, a week out, May 6th, Plainfield police are still stating that they have no reason to suspect foul play.
Again, that whole thing of it's not illegal to go missing. It's not a crime.
She was in the middle of a divorce. She was in an uncomfortable situation.
Yep.
She was petitioning the court to get him out of the house. But, you know.
Things, you know, that's funny how things work out.
It just.
For some people.
Frustrating.
Yeah.
But Lisa's family knows, like, this is not like her. I mean, even her husband is saying she wouldn't have left the kids.
Right. Right.
Even the person that they kind of suspect did it.
Exactly.
Is saying she never would have left.
Mm-hmm.
Volunteers meet again at the elementary school to distribute more flyers.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when Lisa's friends start telling people, telling the media and discussing that she was afraid of Craig and she was attending counseling sessions at a center for battered women.
Oh, my.
They say Lisa told them Craig threatened her on several occasions that he would kill her and nobody would find her. If anything happens to me, look to Craig, one was quoted as saying.
Oh, my God.
But we still don't suspect foul play. I mean, here's where I'm torn. So searches are happening. So they're at least putting forth some effort. But I don't I don't know. I feel like if you're still saying you don't suspect foul play, you can't be that serious about your searches.
Right.
Because you're not really thinking that she's gone.
Right. If you don't suspect foul play, then what are we doing? Are we just looking for somebody who just walked off? Normally, you know, that's not generally what we're doing, unless it's a child that's wandered off.
Now, Craig has been going in for interviews. He has turned over the family computers, but he will not let police talk to the kids. And on May 8th, he refuses a polygraph and says, okay, now I'm done. I'm not going in for any more interviews. He has lawyered up now, which we're always going to say, always get a lawyer.
Right.
Always, always, always. That doesn't mean he shouldn't you're
have
guilty.
Been, I mean, he really That's shouldn't. Smart. Most lawyers will tell you he shouldn't have been talking to them in the first place.
Exactly. But there are some reports that he used to be a private investigator. Now, I could never corroborate this. So I don't know if it's just something someone added as like a little twist to make it seem like he was even more devious, or he would know what to do or what he had to do or to cooperate just enough. But at the end of the day, I don't even think you need to have that in your background to get away with murder. If they're not on it right away from the beginning, you know, or if you just do a little bit of, I don't know, extra work.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to turn this murder podcast into how to get away with murder, but
yeah,
I'm just saying when you look at these cases that we've covered, it's frustrating how everything can point in one direction and someone clearly is missing. And now we're talking about her over a decade later.
Right.
And clearly this woman didn't just walk away.
No, to not ever be seen or heard from ever again. That doesn't make any sense.
So also on May 8th, the FBI knocks.
All right.
And Craig Stevic does not answer. Which is his right, because they didn't have a search warrant. Lisa Stebbick's sister also goes on Greta Van Susteren, and Greta asks her point blank if her sister was afraid of her husband. And this is Lisa Stebbick's sister's response. Well, I mean, you know, my sister and I shared a lot of things, but if she had a fear of her husband, I was not aware of that. You know, like Melanie said, if there was something that we could have done, you know, if Lisa was in trouble, we certainly would have been there for her. Now, there's so many different things that this could be. Because we've talked about it before. When you're in an abusive relationship, you are not always sharing with your family, especially if your significant other has to be around your family a lot.
Right.
You don't want, so it's not necessarily unheard of that you have a close relationship with your sister and you don't know, you know that things are like not the best, but she doesn't want to worry you.
Also, if she's being, you know, physically, mentally, verbally abused, that's, you know, it's embarrassing. It's, you know, you don't want people to know that this is happening. You don't want to, you know, stir. It's already bad enough. If I tell my sister or tell my mom, it's just going to make things worse. I'm already divorcing him. Yeah.
Can be very charming.
Oh, of course.
So they can put on a different face and have everyone else fooled as to what's going on behind closed doors. So then when you try to talk to someone about that, they're kind of like, oh, but did he really mean it like that?
Yeah.
You know, if they're good at the gaslighting and they're very good at all of that. So, you know, there could be that. But the other thing also that could be going on here is there are children involved and they're desperate to find their sister and they want to be there to protect those children as well.
Right.
So this could also be just trying to skirt the issue, not be entirely honest because this is through the media. And we just want to find our sister, so we're not going to admit to anything.
We kind of want to stay in his good graces because he's got my sister's children and we have no rights at all to them. So he could take them from us at any point if we piss him off.
And what kind of backs that up is 2 days later, he says fearing his estranged and missing wife may intend to return, scoop their children up, and disappear again. Craig Stebbick files an emergency motion for temporary custody of his two children. We don't know what's going on, Stebbick's attorney said, speaking to Will County Circuit Court Judge Joseph Polito. We don't know if Lisa has performed a disappearing act and is planning to come back and take the children. The kids potentially are in danger of being taken away from their father.
Oh, my God.
The judge saw through that nonsense, though.
Thank God.
He said this is not an emergency. We can discuss this later in May.
Mm-hmm.
We'll revisit it the end of May. Firefighters in boats search Lake Renwick, which is 5 miles from the Stebbicks' home, but don't find anything. And authorities in Crystal Falls, Michigan, search Craig's dad's cabin just to see if they can find anything up there, since Craig is a hunter, and they don't find anything up there either. So on May 11th, fire department divers start searching the retention ponds around the Stebbick home.
Okay.
Because that area is really flat.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what you would do. It's not like here in Washington, where there's so many places for you to just dump a body off the side of the road where it will never be found because it's going to tumble down into a ravine.
Right.
Maybe we do need to retitle this How to Get Away with Murder.
Exactly. Just... like, hey, don't do murder. But.
But if you do.
But if you do, dump the body over here.
It's crazy. Like, I think of that all the time. Or when I'm out, you know, there's just so many places that are overgrown with stuff.
Yeah.
Anyways, they don't find anything in the retention ponds, but I can see they're thinking that somebody would like sink a body maybe.
Maybe.
On May 13th, which is Mother's Day, Lisa's family passes out hundreds of carnations with her pictures on them and information. Mm-hmm. I mean, what a horrible day for them. This is all horrible, but to channel that pain on Mother's Day.
Yeah, it's just a tragedy.
So now is when we're starting to see things come all the way back around with the police and Craig Stebbick. Because on May 14th, the police, the FBI, and the Juliet PD conduct a midnight raid of the Stebbick house. They take pillows and blankets and towels. They confiscate both of the family vehicles. Both of them are registered to Craig, but Lisa drives the Saturn. Craig has the Chevy S10 pickup truck.
Okay.
And on May 14th, America's Most Wanted features Lisa. And in a quote, Craig has not been named a formal suspect and has been compliant with police requests. You know, they cooperate until they don't in until the eyes of the police.
Yep.
And the thing is, I can see it from both sides, because how many times do you want to bring me in? You know,
right. It's like, are you going to charge me with something? Are you going to charge me with something? What's up? You know, what are we doing here?
I'm not taking a polygraph test ever.
No, I'm not talking to the police without an attorney. Like I said, I'm surprised that he did it for so long without an attorney. But, you know, it's your right to lawyer up. But it's still, I don't know, in my opinion, he sounds fishy to me. I don't know if you can sound fishy. You can't sound fishy. It is just, you know what?
It's got our meter going on.
Exactly.
May 19th is Lisa's 38th birthday. Mm. And to celebrate it, volunteers hand out 300 magnets with her picture on it. A candlelight vigil is held by her family. A candlelight vigil is held by the family, but Craig is noticeably absent. Then on May 20th, the Naperville Sun reports that according to an unnamed police source, Lisa's blood was found on a tarp in Craig's truck.
Just an unnamed,
An unnamed police source. Yeah.
Okay, news. Are you trying to smoke him out? Are you trying to... What's up?
Are the police trying to...
What's up?
On May 21st, Craig tells CBS2 that he doesn't even own a tarp. On May 22nd, Craig goes to court for full custody. That rescheduled hearing for May 22nd. And the judge says, nah, bruh.
Yeah. What are you doing?
You don't need full custody. This is not an emergency.
Right.
Then on May 24th, police say that in that previous raid, they also seized an AK-47, a 44 Magnum, a Ruger mini assault rifle, and a 10-gauge double barrel shotgun.
Okay.
Craig is an avid hunter, and I'm not sure which of those guns are used in hunting because I don't hunt.
Yeah, I have no idea. I couldn't
you
tell
hunt,
you.
You hunt, listener, if... and you're yelling at us. Those are all normal hunting guns.
Yeah, I don't. I don't know.
But I also don't understand what their purpose of leaking that is.
Or yeah, because it's not. I mean, unless the guns are illegal in some way, or you know, he obtained them illegally, but. You can have guns in this country. It's, you know.
You can have as many guns as you want.
You can have 10 times as many, of, you know. You can have whatever you want.
Your guns have more rights than our children.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's when people say, oh, well, he owned like 16 guns. Okay, well.
And police don't care that you own those guns until they fucked up at the beginning and didn't get enough evidence against you for offing your wife. And suddenly they need that.
Yeah. So now we got to say I'm not trying to defend the guy. I just don't. I don't know. Cause to say, oh, there was blood found, but I don't own a tarp. Oh, he has four guns, everyone. Okay.
Well, and if you found blood on the tarp, why isn't he in custody?
I think
that's the frustrating thing about this case, and a lot of cases too, is like, okay, you don't suspect him. Well, she didn't show up like you really thought she was going to. Mm-hmm. So now all of a sudden we're gonna suspect him a month later. Right. And by that point, what happened to the first 48 are gone.
Right. So I don't know. I don't know what the point of putting that information out, because it seems like it's just to maybe
stir the pot. Yeah. And get public sentiment against crime.
Yeah. I don't know.
May 28th, the body of a female is found on Pilcher Park Horse Trail in Joliet. That body is not Lisa's.
But Isn't this crazy that they just keep finding bodies and body parts that aren't the people that we're looking for? Oh, by the way, we did find a body. Not Lisa. Well, who is that then? That's been missing. There's now a bunch of bones in the brush. Who is that? People have been searching for. You just happen to stumble. Oh, we
found another body.
Hey, everyone. We did find a body. Not of the person that we're looking for, but isn't that amazing? We found some human bones. Weren't even looking for those. Just found some.
Ugh. Yeah, it's weird. And I can't imagine, like, this is something that the families of the missing go through a lot. every time someone finds a body, you have that horrible waiting period.
Yeah.
Where you're like, okay, is this it?
Yeah.
Is this, and I imagine there's that part of you that wants it to be your loved one. So you know now, but then there's that other part of you that does not want it to be.
Exactly.
Because you want that hope to still be there.
Right. Right.
Yeah. No, not Lisa. Mm-hmm. Police continue to do searches from Yorkville to construction sites to Michigan. They use cadaver dogs and nothing was ever found. Then on July 10th, a local journalist is fired after tape surfaces of her at Craig Stebbick's house with her kids in a bikini.
I remember this story.
Okay, remember that part?
I remember this because I'm like, what the fuck is she? They having a pool party.
Right.
His wife is missing. You are the reporter. What the fuck is going on? Your wife is missing, but you got the local reporter in a bikini in your backyard.
Yeah, she got fired. I don't think she ever worked again after that. On July 11th, Craig Stebbick has been, and I'm going to quote, of minimal assistance to detectives and refused to participate in searches, in part leading them to name him as a person of interest. Plus, police say that he has refused their repeated request to talk to his kids, who were among the last people to see their mother alive. This action has clearly hampered the investigation. It is our belief that children have viable info that would assist us. I do, you know, and again, I can see this from both angles because you want to protect your children.
Right.
But you can protect your children and be in the room with them when police talk to them.
Why you got the reporter at your house in a bikini, your wife missing? What you doing, man? The fuck is that?
What's she doing? She's married.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
She's married?
She was married.
Oh, man. The wife. Okay, so the wife went missing at the end of April, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In July, we've got the married reporter in the bikini at the pool. Mm-hmm. With her kids and his kids?
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's all sort of fucked up. Why are you at that man's house? You know his...
In July, her sister, that Craig was allowing her sister to take the kids. They went to California with the children. Craig allowed us to take the children to California to visit some of Lisa's relatives. We took them to amusement parks and tried to get them away from all of this. And, you mm-hmm. know, the last night I spent with them, I looked them in the eye and I told them, I'm doing everything that I possibly can to find your mother. And when I returned home, you know, I spoke to Craig just on Friday. And I begged him to let me pay for counseling for these children. I am so concerned for their welfare. You know, I can't tell you. It keeps me up at night worrying about these children.
Mm-hmm.
It comes out that the couple may have been having financial problems. Their home was mortgaged for more than it was worth. And Craig had just been laid off from his job, were some reports, but other reports were he was a pipe layer and that work.
It sounds like it at the pool party. He was laying some pipe. It sounds like it. He was a pipe layer. That's for damn sure. Shit.
And that's not going to pay your mortgage. Not that kind of pipe laying.
No.
About 6 weeks after Lisa Stebbik disappeared, Christopher Vaughn killed his wife and three children on a frontage road near Shinehan.
That's probably not close at all.
It's probably like cinnamon.
It's probably like Clarksville. That's you just every letter is silent and you just have to be there to know how to pronounce it.
And in October, Bolingbrook resident Stacy Peterson disappeared. In February 2008, five women were shot and killed, and a sixth was injured at the Lane Bryant outlet store in Tinley Park.
Not Lane Bryant.
So Lisa went from the sole focus to the back burner.
Right.
Completely. She was overshadowed by Stacy Peterson because once Stacy Peterson's case hit national news and it stayed there.
That's the cop dude that his wives keep turning
yes. up in. More and more sketchy shit came out about her husband, Drew Peterson. Mm-hmm. It captivated people in a way that Lisa's case didn't seem to.
Yeah.
There wasn't the salaciousness to mm-hmm. Lisa's case that there was to this, you know, the idea of this sleazy fucking cop who, you know, is getting away with offing his ex-wives because mm-hmm. his buddies just cover for him and are like, eh, no, Drew wouldn't do, you know. He allegedly. Says it was an accident.
Oops. They keep falling. Look it. They keep falling down the stairs.
Oh,
like me.
Bathtub. Oh, I don't know what happened to her. She just disappeared.
She Isn't kept that falling wife number she...
three? Yeah, I have the worst luck when it comes to
I don't know. Life. It's so weird. They just keep dying on me. It's really taking a toll on me mentally. My God.
So in October of that year, Craig cut off all contact with Lisa's family. But what's really sketchy is like prior to that, his children weren't allowed to speak to their grandparents, even when they were in the same room with them at family functions.
What?
Yeah, isn't that bizarre? That's so Craig would take them to family functions, but they weren't allowed to talk to their grandparents.
Don't speak. Just get some cake, get some ice cream, sit in the corner, don't say nothing, and then we're leaving. No, you can't say hello to Donna and Papa. No, no. That's what I told you. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Right.
Then don't take them. You're wasting everybody's time.
Especially your own. But I guess if you're an unemployed pipe layer. In December 2006, right before he filed for divorce, police were called to the residence because of a verbal dispute between Lisa and Craig. But apparently no violence had occurred and mm-hmm. no arrests were made. According to Craig, Lisa had shown up drunk after being out all night. According to Lisa's friends, Craig had locked her out of the house, so that's why she was mad and yelling.
Yeah, and well, you're not locking me out. So what if I was drunk? It's my fucking house.
In December, in Illinois?
It's my fucking house. If I want to be drunk in this bitch every single day, I will.
Lock me out in December in Illinois when it's freezing. You're lucky you called the police.
Oh my God. Because yeah, it would have been. Oh my God. I wish Steve would try to lock me out. Oh my God. I wish you would. I wish you would. This Cadillac is coming through the front door. Don't play with me. Do not play with me.
Craig did have a charge. Felony weapons charge in the 1990s, but he had no violent offenses. I'm not saying that doesn't make him mm-hmm. guilty.
Right.
It's just this whole case is just crazy. Like, where is Lisa? This is flatland.
Yeah, it's not like it's the mountains of, like you say, Washington or out here in California.
Dump a body and no one would find it for years,
you know, the deserts or whatever, you know.
And the time frame, like, so when did he get rid of her? Because the police came out the next day and there's no guarantee that they're not going to be looking in your house the next day. So if you're calling the next morning, okay, so you send the kids saw her when they got home and then dad sent them to the store. That gave him 30 minutes to an hour. Was this planned? He claims he didn't know that she was trying to get him out of the house. He claims that he had no idea. It was news to him that she had filed a motion to get him out of the house. Because that's motive right there.
Right.
If he gets mad and he doesn't want to go.
And you're not going to take my kids from me. And
it could have been a crime of passion. It could have happened in the moment. But I feel like.
But like, where did she?
You're less likely to get away with something because you can't. There's no plan, and you're not covering it up. You're having to fucking wing it.
Yeah, I just don't understand. If
do you wait till the kids go to sleep, and then you take her out at night, and you drive as far as you can? And you, like, I would love to see how much the mileage on. Well, we don't know. We wouldn't. It's not like now where you fucking have a Google footprint for everything.
Exactly. And your computer can tell you, you know.
But, you know, you could also look to see, like, realistically how far he could go in any direction.
Yeah, I mean, there's
still be back in time to get the kids up in the morning.
True.
And talking to them all these years later isn't going to do any good. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was very smart and not letting them interview them at the time.
Yeah. So, you know, it's how many years later now? I can't.
Why do you do that? Why do you make us do math?
I don't know. It was 2007. 15. It'd be 15 years.
At this point, they're adults. They could talk on their own, but what are they going to remember? And you really, I think as a child, you don't want to lose both parents.
Right. And
I mean, eventually, I do think they will get to that point where they will want answers and they will want to know.
Right.
But if they have not had contact with Lisa's side of the family, they only know what their father's telling them.
Right. So if he's cut them off from her entire side for the last 15 years, who knows what he's told them?
But he did start off saying she was a good mother. She never would have left her kids.
I don't know.
But don't you want to know what happened to her? I mean, I get that you're in the middle of a divorce, but don't you love your kids and want to know where their mother is because they need their mother and they love their mother?
But maybe their mother was just an obstacle.
Clearly.
I mean, yeah, and maybe in his mind, if this, you know, went down, that, you know, he's saving his children from her. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
I just think you're giving him too much credit.
Maybe I am.
And I get that it doesn't necessarily have to be a thing that's planned out. I mean, I think you always want to think that that's how people get away with murder and how bodies aren't discovered. But I think a lot of times people can wing shit, or there's a simpler solution and police just don't catch it quick enough.
Yeah.
And then it's too late, because let's be honest, if there really was Lisa's blood on that tarp, Craig Stebbick would be in jail.
Well, yeah, because you need to be able to explain how it got there.
We have seen 48 hours where people are convicted on way less.
I don't know.
Now, according to the friend who lives in the area, she said the rumors were that he had buried Lisa in a foundation of a school that was under construction where he was laying pipes at the time, and that they even brought sonar equipment in to look in some of the newer schools in their district.
Oh my God.
But never found her.
What happened?
Right. Where is she?
Any other?
She was 5 feet, 2 inches tall, 125 pounds at the time that she disappeared. She had brown hair, brown eyes, and she had the following tattoos. She had a rose on her ankle, a pink heart on her abdomen, and a butterfly with the name Zach and Lexi on the middle of her back. If anyone has information, they can call the Plainfield Police Department at area code 815-267-7217.
This case makes me mad.
Foul play is suspected. Yeah, those poor children. And to think, I mean, even if it wasn't Craig, someone got away with it.
Right. Someone did something to this woman.
And we need to find her.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe she's a doe somewhere. Maybe someone has found her and they just have to connect. I mean, we have those crazy cases too.
Exactly. Where
they're found shortly after, but the connection isn't made for 20 years.
Yeah.
Anyone who's going through the Doe Network and the Doe Project and helping out matching does with missing people, you people are amazing. Thank you. Thank you for doing that.
Absolutely. So that families can get closure.
Well, you falling down the stairs is not happy news.
No, I did survive it. So that is good.
I PR'd my shoulder press.
I thought you were going to say I peed. I'm like, please don't. What is
You're
that?
Like,
don't say that.
How's that good news? No, I set personal records again on my shoulder press, on my back squat, and on my deadlift. I can deadlift 155 pounds now.
Oh my God.
I can deadlift more than I weigh.
Wow.
Yes. 20 more pounds.
I always like to deadlift.
Yeah, that's by far my favorite. I don't mind the back squat. I'm not a fan of the shoulder press, but there's nothing worse than the overhead squat.
I'd never liked the snatch and whatever. Hated that shit.
But everyone likes a snatch joke.
Exactly.
Those are my favorite.
Vaginas. Yeah, I don't have anything good. I've survived a month at this new job.
Oh my God, so it's been a month already.
I know. It's wild. It's crazy. I wish I could say more, but I kind of would like to keep the job because I like being able to pay my mortgage.
Right.
But it's, you know, it's an experience. Yep. It's something, all right.
It's a job.
It sure as hell is. And I get paid every 2 weeks and I am happy about that. And that is some good goddamn news.
Yes. Well, you can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Instagram and on Twitter and on our Patreon page. And come join us on Discord. If you're a member of Patreon, you automatically get sent to our Discord link. and come have fun with us on Discord. Show us pictures of your pets.
Yeah.
No dick pics, though.
No, please.
Please. I'm
too old. I've seen enough. You're not going to impress me. You're not going to impress. Let me tell you something. You're not going to impress me. You're not. You're just not. I don't need to see it. And if you're thinking, oh, well, wait till they see. Nope. I'm already not impressed. If you're thinking it now, I'm already not impressed.
We won't ban you right away because we want to make fun of you first.
It will go up on a bulletin board, though.
Public shaming.
In my craft room next to my Harlem Globetrotters program from 1979. That's where your dick pic will go.
Big hole.
Yep.
Dick pic on the wall.
And they're next to my poster from New York Tough, disgraced Governor Cuomo, when I was so in love with him at the beginning of the pandemic.
Oh, God.
That I paid $14 for some stupid poster. Most ridiculous.
So that's perfect.
Yeah, it's dumb. Yeah, you know what? The dick pics will go on the Cuomo poster. Please.
It'll be like pin the dick on the dick.
Exactly. So please.
On the misogynistic bully mm-hmm. asshole. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Right there. So please. But please don't, really.
But
I don't.
Please don't. Yeah, we don't really need to do that. Yeah. We're just saying that's what we would do. We'd turn it into a
please.
Pin a dick on the dick game.
Don't need it.
And on that note, stay safe out there, people.
Stay safe. Bake a pie. And go buy a book that these dummies are trying to ban in schools.
Yes.
Mm.
Oh, maybe we'll do that. We'll post a list of banned books.
Yeah, because I'm buying them. I'm buying those shits, man. Ruby Bridges Goes to School. That's banned. Her experience. You know what? Mm-mm. Just go look at the books they're trying to ban. Make sure you're buying them and reading them and getting information.
Donating them.
Yeah, donating them.
Putting
them
in your
children.
Little local free library.
Exactly.
In your neighborhood. If history feels good, people, it's not real history. That's mm-hmm. your takeaway.
Yeah. So stay safe.
Watch your back.
Watch your back. Bake a pie. And go buy Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, because they're trying to ban that shit. Bye.
No way. Bye. Okay, let's see if I can turn this off without hanging up on you.